This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home.
Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch.
The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed.
And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents. Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Let's go! Let's go!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Bingetown TV. This is Brian here with Kathleen and Dave, and today we're covering the pilot episode of the former NBC drama Manifest in another installment of our Pitchtown TV format. So our analytics team tells us that these Pitchtown episodes bring a lot of first-time listeners to the pod, so I want to take a second to explain who we are. We are a podcast that covers mostly sci-fi and fantasy television shows. Previously, we've covered The Mandalorian, The Boys, Spartacus, The Haunting of Hill House, and pretty much everything in between. We follow ongoing shows with deep dive week-to-week episodes, revisit old seasons of our personal favorites, but we also do random projects of whatever the hell we want, which brings us to today and our Pitchtown TV coverage of Manifest. And today we have a very special guest presenting the show to us, my girlfriend Emma. What's up, Emma?
Hi. Wow. First significant other on the pod.
First significant other.
Wow. Breaking stuff.
Do not screw this up for the rest of us. For the rest of the significant others.
Yeah. You're setting a precedent here, babe.
This could end relationships this segment, or it could just only make them stronger. So we'll see by the end of this.
Let's hope it's the latter.
Yeah, obviously.
Talk about ending relationships. Let's get into this show. There are some relationships ending.
Big time.
That was a huge transition right there. But no, Emma, why don't you take a second to explain to us why you're presenting this show? I guess a little bit of context. Me, Dave, and Kathleen have not watched Manifest ever before. We're all going in blind. And
no, we're also going to make sure we're not going to do any spoilers for those watching for the first time.
Of course. But yeah, tell us about Manifest. Why are you bringing it to the podcast today?
So I think Manifest is a great show for the pod. It's a little bit OA. It's a little bit The 100 and sort of Duo. Oh, yeah. Is it a little 100? I don't know if it has a little bit of 100.
I like it. It's sci-fi. It's time anomalies.
A little bit OA of the OA and also a little bit of Lost. And I've never there seen Lost, but I know that it has some Lost in it. So
I would say less that it has The 100 and more that it has a little bit of that CW heart to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's what it was.
But mixed with NBC writing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sure.
It's really funny how now every single show that has a plane in it is compared to Lost. Like I'm watching The Wilds, which is a plane crash show. Mm-hmm. So of course you're going to compare it to Lost, the plane crash show. But it's so funny because I've compared it to Lost even when I didn't see it. I'm like, oh, Manifest, it's like that Lost show. But it's hard because you shouldn't, because Lost is so good. But I loved Manifest. I was excited to watch.
Well, Kathleen, correct me if I'm wrong, but does the Lost pilot also start off like on the plane?
No, the Lost pilot starts with Jack opening his eyes.
But do you get the plane crash in episode one?
Yes. And you do get some shots of them on the plane. Mm-hmm. That's a great pilot.
I was getting a lot of like comparisons to Lost just from the beginning of this episode and the plane scene.
Yeah.
Where they get the turbulence and stuff. Obviously, this plane doesn't crash. But that is what was keying me off, that this and Lost are very similar.
Yeah, I would say based on the first episode, it's a mix of Lost and the OA in terms of relatable shows. You know, a little bit campy, pretty fun. And then the best part is that Netflix picked it up for a fourth and final season, which has brought a ton of hype to it.
Similar to the OA, it was a show that was campaigned for.
I've seen that.
Except
but
they
unlike
actually,
the OA,
unlike the OA, it was actually picked up for a final season. And also unlike the OA, the acting is a little bit more dodgy and the writing is definitely more campy, but it's fun and super bingeable. So I think all in all, a great Bingetown show.
You know, besides Grey's Anatomy, I haven't been watching any sort of like ABC, NBC shows recently. I mean, I guess I watch like a million little things, but this is supposed to be like a sci-fi NBC, and that I haven't seen in a really long time, if ever. So it's really interesting to see a network cable, big ass cable network. I exactly just said that twice. Yeah. Try to attempt this. And it's funny because I really like it. I mean, I'll be honest.
Wasn't Lost NBC?
It, correct. So there you go. Wait, Fox?
I think they were NBC.
Oh, yeah. Then I guess I have seen exactly that.
Analytics team, do you want to double check that?
Yeah, Dave, pull that up.
But I was going to say that the reason I haven't clicked this, because this show gets hype. I mean, people like this show a lot.
Yeah, it's also gotten a lot more hype since Netflix took it.
Exactly. I've seen it within the last year. Of course, pandemic just like dredged up all these shows that people were like, digging for any sort of like comfort and fun. Whatever, yeah, comfort in a fucking like plane.
We got the
time anomaly.
What? We got the confirmation. NBC's lost.
Yeah. Okay, so I asked my dad because he watches everything. He's not the most like reliable person because I'm not sure he's always paying attention. Anyway, he was like, it just felt like more of the same when I was watching. He says, I really liked it, but it felt like more of the same. And then when people poison me like that, I'm like, we're really gonna get into this show if it's not gonna be like hot the whole time. But then again, I've heard people say that about shows I fucking love and I'm obsessed with. So I decided to throw that out. I'm not gonna say whether or not I'm gonna finish it until the end.
Yeah, we'll save the
spoilers because we'll save that to the end. But I will say that they did a really fucking good job with in the beginning. You're so intrigued about their lives before. And then they did a really great job setting up, okay, one of the kids is sick. And not only is he sick, but they're twins. So when they get back, one will be older. Who's going to be alive? What are the like advancements in technology and medicine and everything? They set it up so perfectly. Why is our main character like so sad? What did she do? What's this accident?
Also, why is she the main character?
Why am I choosing her as the main character?
Yeah.
Because women are the leads.
But you're right. Just in general, like, why is she the one that's narrating?
That is a good point. I think that's what makes us believe that she's the main character is because she's narrating.
Absolutely.
So by the end of the episode, though, it kind of seems like this is going to be a story more about the entire cabin.
Manifest.
All of the passengers. And they're Oh, she said the thing. When they all congregated on the plane at the end, I started to think like, okay, this might be the story about all of them, not just Michaela.
For someone who hasn't seen the show Lost, so I can't make these comparisons, but for someone who didn't know anything about Manifest, had no idea what the show was about, had not seen the trailer or anything, I went in this just completely blind. And within the first 10 minutes, Emma was watching with me and I was just already hooked. I did predict, I will say, and Emma can back me up, but they hit the turbulence. And, you know, she looks over at me. She's like, what do you think that was? And I was like, my first thought was just time travel. I don't know why that was what came into my head. And I thought they went back. I thought they went back in time. So when the call is being made in the cockpit and they're like, how many people are in your manifest? I don't know planes terminology that well. So I thought that was like an old, like maybe like 80s, like an 80s, 90s thing. So I was like, oh, okay. So they went back in time and. But they landed and they also said, you know, we didn't have cell phone service. So I was like, oh, score one for me. Got it right. They went back in time. But then you look out the window and it's like, yeah, 2018 Chevys and all that stuff. So I was like, okay, that scratches that. But what happened? And then I'm thinking, and then even before they announced it's 5 years later, I was like, okay, so they went forward in time. That made sense. But and then I also had some ridiculous theory of like zombies.
Yeah, there was a zombie theory. You gotta have a long shot.
So listen. So the show, like the term manifests to me does kind of have a relation to zombies. And she had that weird quote before the family got on the plane about how, you know, this decision in our lives ruined some lives, but saved others. So I was thinking, oh, it saved their lives because they didn't touch down first to a zombie apocalypse.
Oh, that's where you're going.
Wait, yeah, that's why I was going.
Manifest strike zombie though, because I don't see that connection.
Like the zombie cells manifest a body, I guess is how I was thinking of
that's
it.
That's a stretch, people, but that's why we call it a theory.
Take
that tinfoil hat off.
Kathleen, you're so right. Everybody does have a long shot theory.
Yeah.
Mostly I keep them to myself.
Oh yeah.
This was the Brent, first
what
watch.
Was yours?
My long shot theory?
Yeah, what was yours?
Oh, not for Manifest specifically. For
I knew it. I knew the gist to Manifest too, so I couldn't have a long shot
theory. Yeah, I mean, I feel like if you've seen the trailer, you know that they disappeared and came back 5.5 years
later. But that's just like
similar to Malaysia flight 370, except it hasn't come back.
Yeah.
But if it does,
that would be crazy.
Me too.
If that happened to them, oh my God. But when they said 5 years have passed, I was like, you know, it's interesting because I feel like there have been shows where it's like they do a similar plot, but it's, you know, either like hundreds of years in the future or, you know, it's in the past. So 5 years doesn't seem like that long of a time. But me and Emma, while we were watching, we're like listing things like what would have changed. And, you know, the big one being politics and presidencies. You go from Obama to Trump, like that's just crazy in itself. Yep. And then like we get an insight into the pharmaceutical side of it, where cancer technology, because of one of the survivors of A28, like technology for cancer has just advanced a little bit farther.
Technology in general, like iPhones would be completely obsolete.
Right.
Neither of them had service when they landed. That was like the first flag.
Which could have also been a sign though that just their plans were canceled.
Oh yeah, yeah, your cell phone plans.
That's what it was.
Yeah, because they were outdated phones. I think it was just because they were presumed dead.
Oh yeah, true.
And that's why, like, another thing, as I was watching, I was like, you know. Like they talked about the house. She was like, oh, we had to get rid of your house. I'm like, oh my God, she doesn't have a house. And I'm thinking, oh my God, she doesn't have a car. She doesn't have money in her bank account. They like her loved ones probably transferred that money to somewhere else. Like you have literally nothing coming. It's only 5 years, but everyone thinks you're dead. So that all your stuff is gone.
Yeah. They bereaved you at that point.
Yeah.
And that was, Emma, you brought up off the pod, the comparison between what Michaela was falling back to or coming back to reclaim her life and what Ben was able to come back to, because he had the safety net of his loving wife and two children. And it's
and a home.
It's a completely different circumstance than what he left, but he has a family and a support system. Michaela is greeted by an ex-fiance who is dodging her calls and it's just like, I ran off with the best friend.
Yeah, who is married to her best friend.
But no matter how long it's been, she was already fucking upset about something she did. So it's like, even if she came back to her family, like she is already beat up in general, let alone to lose your apartment and all your things and your money and your car and everything.
I love a main character with baggage.
Yeah, right.
You could say that about his girls too.
It's not bad.
It was interesting because I thought there were kind of like three scenarios that we were shown from after the 5 year time skip. One being Michaela's, which was obviously we know is terrible. Ben has a little bit of a safety net with his family actually still being there. But, you know, he did lose someone at the same time. He lost his mom at the same time. But then we get the doctor. What's her name?
Sanvi.
Yeah. Her perspective, she comes back like a hero almost in the pharmaceutical industry. Like she was almost the cure for cancer, essentially. I don't know what the biological term would be for her, but did she cure cancer?
It seems like she has a very promising medication for leukemia.
Right.
They're more specified than that, but it's very promising in phase three, which means it's very close to actually being developed into an actual medication.
Well, we haven't seen it yet, but from that perspective, you know, everything was better than what she had left in the past because of her work.
Well, she had a very promising research. She got onto the plane with like the breakthrough research, and then she got off the plane saying, yeah, we've been using that research for the past 5 years. Like your life's work, we ran with it, and here you go.
Like you're gonna have to negotiate that salary of mine because I got 5 years that you owe me.
Well, and we do see her struggle with the dude that kind of usurped her as the head guy in the study. So she's gonna have to kind of regain control of what seems to be completely her research.
What a stupid
Dr. Cardoso. That really
what a stupid like rule policy that like I don't know what it was. Many times if you want to talk about it a little bit
so essentially his mindset was he disqualified Cal from the study based on a technicality, saying that every patient that could take place in this study could only have had leukemia for the past year, something like that.
I think it was age-related.
Age-related as well.
But the technicality was he's 5 years older than he was. He's had this.
His diagnosis was in 2013.
I was struggling.
Yes, his diagnosis was technically 2013, meaning that he's had it for 5 years, and that fucking sucks. And that's the difference between people trying to get a. Like he says, there's money to be got. So, you know what I mean?
So
and that
technically
sucks.
He was outside the parameters of the study based on his age, but his real reason was we're about to be bought by a major pharmaceutical and an aberrant patient with like completely outlier results. Cause who knows what the hell happened to him in the air,
which is stupid. It's just like, go back to your values, dude. Yes. Like, why did you become a doctor in the first place?
But also look at the person who created the research. Like she was also on that plane.
Yeah.
And she didn't age a day. Like, you know,
look, also, and in the real world, any pharmaceutical person would jump at that opportunity because that would be such a high profile case. There would be news coverage. You would be the pharmaceutical company that saved the kid from flight 828. Yeah,
exactly.
Like, that's such a cool story. Yeah. Anybody would try to do that. So this doesn't really make sense to me, but it seems like Sanvi hooked them up in the end. So sweet.
Yeah, she fought for him.
I didn't think that was going to happen in episode one, and I was going to be fucking mad if that didn't follow through. At least we got him at the end.
I will say,
getting pumped.
I will say, Sanvi is bae. I think she's
absolutely
so
gorgeous.
She was so stunning.
There's an entire subreddit dedicated to her.
Of course there is. Love that. I'm glad that she's one that we've already gotten so far. I'm sure we're going to dive in, like you said, to the other characters as
I was going to ask, so like, who... based on the first episode, who from the plane do you think is going to be
like the
main player? You know,
I loved the captain Daly, even when they were just flying into New York. I have 191 souls on board. All of them would like to step off soon.
Yeah.
Dude, my guy is just such a smooth talker. The stewardess that gets on the line and says, "Yes, he did, folks." And everybody's clapping for the plane.
I think the violinist.
Yes.
Because that's also an OA shout out.
I love a violinist.
Mm-hmm. I love the violinist.
I don't know. I honestly can't think of another single soul in my brain right now.
See what you did. Cal,
there was something weird. There was something weird going on with Cal at the end of that episode, too, when, like the plane blows up and he wakes up in his bed. So that's
so I thought that was more like he was a kid, so he wouldn't have the freedom to go to the airport at 11 p.m. But like he felt it too when it happened, whatever drew everybody else.
Yeah. So do you think he had the initial calling of the plane, like that vision that they all had, or
and the like save them,
yeah,
type thing, or let what was the thing?
Set them free.
Which
yes,
similar, man. The comparisons are there.
So many overlaps between the two shows, and I think, especially with this show, because there are so many theories. And to be frank with you, we don't have all the answers. Like at the end of season three, we still don't have them, which is awesome going into season four. And also knowing that like Netflix is going to do a killer job.
Yeah,
they're going to make the best of the 20.
I wonder if it'll be, because it's streaming now, if it'll have any like liberties with like sex or cursing.
That's
or,
what that was what something you know what Luke I mean? And I were talking about too. Yeah. Is like now that the show has picked up, like
nudity,
nudity, yeah, probably.
There's and also
no
probably.
Penises, only
never penises. Cower.
Only Game
unless
of Thrones.
It's
like Game of Thrones
the
might
after.
Be my only penis.
What was the sex/life show? With that shower scene,
that absolute like dragging on the ground.
Is that like something with the guys in the shower and like his ex, his girlfriend's ex boy. I don't know why I've seen that. Yeah,
it's
scene
on TikTok. It was big TikTok.
Oh, maybe that's where I've seen it. Yeah, but he's literally rocking like a 4 foot soft.
Yeah,
penis. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
She basically went between the two guys the entire season. It was so bad, but.
But back to Manifest. Yeah, back to the real content.
I'm excited for full 60-minute episodes.
The one thing, oh, is that they're going to 60?
Well, I feel like Netflix usually does that.
That's true.
It could vary
because they don't have they don't have to accommodate for commercial breaks.
That's interesting.
One other aspect I want to talk about is the real. I want to get more into the relationship of Michaela and her lover, and Jared, yeah,
former
like,
lover.
That's just
former
like a lover. Such an unbelievable like. She doesn't blame him, obviously, like she can't really. I mean, you think you're dead, but like imagine just being put in that scenario where you were just in love 2 days ago and now you're not.
I love Brian. A hypothetical. How would you feel if you disappeared for 5.5 years and then came back and Dave and I were married?
I knew it. Would you support
I would
us?
Grudgingly say the same shit she did.
Yeah, like, exactly.
I couldn't blame you. You're both great. you were grieving, you found each other, whatever. And I'd hold back my tears and enjoy my life alone.
I mean, yeah, that's exactly what you would do. What, like, how other,
what can you do? Yeah. I certainly wouldn't pull some, I would hope Dave wouldn't pull some shit to me and be like, are you acting out because of me?
Yeah, I would.
And like, start mansplaining. All
yeah,
the we got a lot of Jared. Mansplaining in this episode.
Big time.
Oh, he also did that thing at the end where he told her, like, you still take my breath away.
Dude,
don't. Inappropriate, Jared.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was totally
inappropriate. What a fuck boy.
But also, can you blame him though? Like,
no this girl has the most beautiful eyes I've ever seen in my life. They belong in a museum.
But, like, okay, Brian.
Because he was genuinely in love with Michaela and he lost her. It wasn't like they broke up. Yeah.
Okay, here's my thing.
I was about to say Michaela's been holding back her breath right now.
Here's my original thought. So before they even get on the plane, Michaela mentions either in a narration or out loud about the accident. But in my brain, either I missed a word or something. I didn't know that the accident had just fucking happened. Am I misreading that? Because in my head, here's what I got. Her mom lecturing her, being like, you should say yes. He's such he's the best, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, he proposed and she did not say yes. That's crazy town.
Yes.
So I was assuming that when she got off the plane, he was going to be like, you didn't say yes to me. Like, I thought there was going to be a miscommunication of like, she said no or she didn't say yes. So like, we're broken up. Like, I was really not expecting him to just be still head over heels.
So the assumption is that she just told him she needed time to think. She didn't give him an answer either way.
Oh, and also, now that I'm remembering, didn't they go through a trial? Because she said my lawyer convinced the judge.
They were talking about an accident.
Yes.
Not involving Jared. But we know that she's a police officer,
and we know
obviously.
She killed
the person
a
next
young,
to her.
It was
a girl named Evie. They named Evie. Evie.
And they were in a car accident. We don't really know the details other than the fact that she was driving and she was declared not guilty.
Got some theories?
I was going to say it's not going to be a partner. At first, I thought it was going to be like her partner in a car, because then I didn't feel like the precinct or whatever was like judging her enough for it to be a fellow cop. So I was like, maybe it's someone else, but I have no idea who that could be. But I could be also dead.
Do you think the accident played a role in her saying, being hesitant to marry?
Hell,
like, you think that was the reason why she was hesitant?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
That's why everybody kept saying, like, you deserve Jared. Like, you deserve to be happy. That's probably the main thing.
Because they also didn't blame her.
Because I wasn't sure of, like, the timeline of events. Because it wasn't ever said, like, okay, that happened.
Right.
It was just more like details were being thrown.
Yeah, I mean, you learn more about the accident as time goes by in the season.
Yes.
But
they never talk about it again.
A precursor, if you guys do end up watching the rest of the season, there are some... NBC does leave some plot holes and some
classic
just like unanswered.
That's to be expected.
Yeah.
To be expected.
Yeah. They don't, sci-fi is not their thing other than Lost. So.
Yeah. Did anyone else cry? Because I cried.
No, that was just you.
Okay. So at the reunion, I am like an emotional person, folks.
I think the viewers know.
Yes. And at the reunions, I was crying. And then when they were like, I knew that someone was going to be dead. They had to have done that. And then the mom was so fucking sweet in the beginning with like the prayer she was repeating and everything. And I was like, not this. I was crying in the club big time.
At that reunion too, it was cool seeing like when they land and they're all back with their loved ones. It's cool seeing kind of how I would say like 75% of the people were like happy, hugging, like love being spread. But then others, you know, hands in their face as if they were told some bad news. Like, it was kind of cool seeing that differentiation and that they stuck to it. It's not all happy reunions here. Like, some people are being told things that were life-changing for them.
And talk about Cal and Olive.
Oh, yeah. True. Yeah.
Whew, imagine being a twin and then coming back and your twin is 5.5 years older than you.
That's just...
I thought the scene with the dad and Olive at the soccer field was incredible. The dynamics of it's like, not only have I not been here for the 5 years, you had to pick up the pieces, whatever, but I wasn't there for you before because I was so focused on Cal. I was like,
And when he says that too, it had me reflecting too. And it's when you see the interactions that they all have in the beginning, like, he really does only talk to Cal almost, you know, he doesn't really acknowledge his daughter really at all in the time that we see all of them together. And so when he says all that stuff, it's really emotional. And that was one of my favorite scenes, besides all the mystery and twists and everything. Like, that was a really well done scene.
Agreed.
I
think that one thing that this show did really well in the pilot is creating an understanding of the emotional complexity of like what happened and how that affected everyone. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what I would do if I were in any of their shoes. No. Like
you have nothing. You have to just find a job.
Right. If I was Michaela, I don't know. I'd probably be holed up in a bed somewhere. And
I'd go back to Hill's Quality and Seafood and be like, yeah, do I have a job here or what?
You always have a job at Hill's Quality.
Exactly. But yeah, you don't have anything. There's
fish to be slung.
Okay. Here's a question for all four of us. Would you rather be someone on the plane or be a loved one left behind?
Someone on the plane. I wouldn't be interesting.
Me too. And
I
you
want to be
I don't know. I
yeah, you're not interesting as a person.
Someone left behind. Like my initial thought was someone left behind.
Just depending on who you are left behind. If it's your significant other, if it's a kid or your parent, I'm like, no way.
I would not want to be Michaela. I would not want to be in her situation. She came back to nothing.
Yeah.
She had jack shit.
But she got a do-over, quote unquote.
Per Grace, yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be in Grace's situation either because it seems like she's been getting busy in those 5 years.
Yeah, there's an unnamed person that she was texting
that the daughter surprisingly knew about, which is cool. Yeah. You know,
I mean, it's been 5.5 years, right? Yeah. So she had every right to move on.
That was actually one of the comments I was thinking. I didn't mention it at the time, but that I didn't understand that texting scene, but it makes sense because I was also throughout the episode thinking, okay, Jared moved on. Why did Grace not move on? Was she really that loyal? But then now that text is kind of making sense to me that she did. She probably is seeing someone and it wasn't marriage, but it could have been getting to that level.
Right. And it's totally fair that she was seeing someone. The fact that she hasn't told him yet, I don't know. But also in her defense, she did say in the text, I need time. You have to understand. And like, if I were to put myself in her shoes, I can imagine that you have very conflicting, like overwhelming feelings of just like, oh my God,
so
like,
hard to
I
pick.
Thought my husband was dead. I thought my son was dead and they're not. Yeah. And they also haven't aged a day.
Not only that, but she says she was so mad at him. Yeah. She was so angry. So I guess she was dealing with her grief in the way to make it easier to be just like, fuck him. Be mad. She said every single day for the last 5.5 years, I'm like, damn.
For taking away Cal too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's not. It was. If anything, she should be screaming at Cal because Cal was the one like, "I'll stay back too." Yeah. It wasn't his decision. He was like, "All right."
Grace was my least favorite character. I thought she was overly dramatic in that scene where she said, "Every day for 5.5 years, I hated you for making Cal need you every second of his life." I'm like, well, bitch, stop being overly dramatic. Maybe the kid will like you too. And then, when they get back on the tarmac, the reunion scene, she is sprinting, streaking across that tarmac like Tyreek Hill. Yeah, but like she's been cheating for the past 5.5 years.
Well, not cheating.
Nobody else was sprinting. It's been 36 hours. It's not like fresh news. She would have had to take like a taxi to the tarmac and then gotten out. And
well,
sprinted.
It might have been fresh news because for all we know, they didn't call their families until they were done with the interrogations.
There were like hundreds of people. She was the only one sprinting and screaming for Ben.
I feel like cheating is the wrong
overly
word. I don't think
dramatic.
She thought she was a widow.
Yeah, I'll disagree on that. Like the fact, like it wasn't cheating, but I can see where your frustrations lie.
Noted that you have a loose interpretation of the word cheating.
Oh, see, we said at the beginning of this podcast that couples might stay stronger.
I'm coming for you.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But that was the whole scene was just really well done. That reunion part of it, I really liked that aspect of it.
Can you tell me right now that Grace wasn't your least favorite character, Dave?
I was thinking of the characters that I really didn't like, and there wasn't really one that stood out, but I would say Grace would probably after your thorough argument, I'm gonna have to say that Grace is probably my least favorite character. I really liked Sanvi, of course, because not only is she beautiful, she's also like her moral compass is all
smart
there.
As fuck.
Yeah, she's
whole package,
sexy.
Yeah, she's I'm all package. In for her. So
I will say,
honestly, so is Michaela. Though I think Michaela is just like strikingly beautiful, and also Kathleen, she's our age, which means she was like she was like 25.
She's our age now, right now, in this moment.
Yes, which means that she was like 24, 25 when filming, which is crazy because she looks way older.
Yeah, she does. She looks 30.
Yeah.
Good way for older. You guys for looking good then. Right?
Hey. Yeah. No, she's already now.
She's hot as shit. Like if you look at her Instagram, woo-hoo, girl.
I will be doing that immediately after this.
Yeah.
It's fine. You His can face. Talk up Michaela all you want. I just said her eyes belong in a museum.
That's true.
And I stand by it.
Let's dig into the sci-fi of it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the voice.
Some theorizing of voices and what the cloud was.
And also,
yeah,
like what happens on the plane.
I'm actually shocked because I was like, okay, the voices in the head either like are like know things before they happen, obviously. I thought it was going to be happening for each person, but separately. Like, I didn't realize that they were both going to be led. Ben and Michaela were both going to be led to the same spot. I was hoping that everyone was going to be solving their own little crimes, but yeah.
So Ben said something that I think is noteworthy. He said, I heard it after I drove by here this afternoon or jogged by here or whatever it was. So
okay.
We know that he had gone by and so had Michaela. So I'm under the assumption, and this isn't a spoiler or anything, but I'm under the assumption that it's because they went there
geographically.
Right. Yeah. Like they were nearby. And so the calling happened. Same with the bus scene. Like if she hadn't been very close, maybe it wouldn't have happened or she wouldn't have gotten the calling.
Mm-hmm.
My theory stems solely off of the OA, basically. Like how I picture this is whatever the turbulence was that they experienced in the plane was a portal of some sort. And, you know, there was some interdimensional travel of some sort, whatever, pin that. They land and like they hear those voices. And what I'm thinking, this is totally a long shot. Like, again, theorizing, don't give me shit. But what they're hearing is essentially like they're themselves from the timeline that if they didn't jump, the plane lands and they live their life. But these are all events like the set them free, the stop the bus stuff. Like that is stuff that her non, I don't know how to describe it, but basically she, like she had experienced that in that lifetime. And then she is somehow able to transmit that to herself now and just be like, look at like, if you get on this bus, there's going to be a kid there. And
interesting.
You're gonna have... So that's I literally it was only because of the OA and how fresh that was that I'm just like thinking interdimensional, like kind of talking to her, talking to their past selves to kind of correct some wrongs that they were doing in that life that they had already lived, I guess, if you want to call
yeah,
it.
Yeah. So interestingly enough, I did a pretty deep dive into Reddit today, just trying to see like the theories and people who, you know, have started over recently, because since it's been picked up by Netflix, a lot of people are just starting to watch it. And someone also said interdimensional.
Yeah,
that's good.
Interdimensional travel.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, interesting. That's, you know, we don't have all the answers even now. So,
But that's what I liked about the OA. And that's what I really like about Manifest is that mystery. Like they give you something crazy that happens, you don't, and it's not explained, but let's explain it along the way. That's what I really enjoyed about the OA and what I'm enjoying here.
Just since we're kind of talking theories about the sci-fi element, I kind of relate it to the mom directly. And I kind of convinced myself out of it because she died somewhere in the 5 years, not exactly out of it, but she started hearing this voice after her mother died. Michaela, this is. And when she hugs Grace, the first voice that we hear, it says all things. And her her mom's whole thing was all things work together for good.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a Bible verse. Yeah.
Which is a Bible verse.
828. Oh my God. I was blown away when we saw the Bible verse. We saw the fence 828. Yeah. I was like, oh my God. I was like, what is happening? Continue. Sorry.
I don't know if there's like an afterlife element to it, like your loved ones can kind of influence what you do for good. And she, at the end of the episode, Michaela refers to it as whatever force brought us together had no intention of being found out or discovered or whatever. But it seems like whatever this force is, it's a positive force and it wants to influence positive change. And if what I think is going to happen does, we're going to branch out and kind of see all of these characters fleshed out and do their own little thing, like all 100-some passengers from the Manifest.
141
souls. 141
souls.
Right? There you go.
No, 191.
And even before you described it as, you said the show kind of has elements of This Is Us.
That yeah, a little show, bit soapy.
Kind of like the heartwarming, like human stories, drama. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so I could see that happening.
when Dave was talking, I was just thinking about similar to his theory. This is not going to be it. It doesn't really make any fucking sense, but I like it anyway. It's like if they had landed, a certain sequence of events would have happened. But since they were not there for 5 years, it's almost like the chain of events they're able to know because that's like the chain of events that would have happened if they
that's
never
kind of where I'm on. That
yeah.
Page,
if they
yeah.
had landed correctly and at the right time in 2013, it doesn't make any sense, but I just wanted to say it out loud.
Do you guys, as the newbies, do you guys think there's any chance of like, if there is, we're talking about this force that's driving these people together. Do you think it's like an actual force? Like, do you think it's going to be like aliens or a god, or do you think it's just like something beyond them kind of thing?
Beyond.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of an interesting point too, because there is a Bible verse that, yeah.
Yeah.
This
it's
kind
really
of is all,
you know me, I'm like
based on, so like, are they going to tie yeah. in religion in some way?
Thank you.
What do you think, B Toms?
I really don't know. Part of me even thinks that they might not even address like the actual force that caused it to happen.
Ever.
Again, in the series,
it might just have been like an anomaly.
It didn't want to be found out. That was just kind of like a Kickstarter to all the events of the series. But like in the embroidered pillow, did it use the word God? Like it is referencing the biblical sense of the Romans 8:28, because it totally could be like a supernatural God entity.
I don't think it did. I think it just said Romans 8:28, which just okay. confirmed that it was a Bible verse. But you do have the church scene where she is reading the Bible.
Very true.
I wasn't even thinking about that religious aspect. So that's got me thinking that it's something like an actual being of some sort is doing this.
Interesting.
But I don't know why they would then you have to ask the question, why would they do that? Like, right. what does that we get the reference that they're all getting second chances. Like, are they getting it because they're all like, it just was a coincidence that all 191 passengers on that plane were like living terrible lives, and this was God's way to just be like, do over.
I think that's not the coincidence. I think the fact that those specific people got on that plane was not a coincidence either.
Okay.
You know,
that's yeah. okay. Yeah. There you go.
So that's also one of the elements that I think is a good comparison to Lost, is how all these people kind of already, we can see their stories are interwoven even before they step foot
right,
on
I mean,
the plane.
Look at Sanbi and Cal.
Definitely.
Yeah. Mm. Agreed. And they give each other a look like, yeah, what up?
Yeah, Cal gave
you're
us
connected.
Yeah.
Gave a soft
he was
smile.
Acknowledging, like, thank you.
They're like, seat 14B? Yes. I actually want to talk about the plane. So when my brain kind of did like a really fast paced thing and then I corrected myself. But when the people investigating the plane were kind of like, we just checked, there's not a single trace of anything from within those years on. I was like, how can they trace time? And then I was like, oh, they mean literally like there's no iPhone X on the plane. Right, there's
like,
no
there
book
no,
that was
like,
published
in not a bag of chips that like expires. Yeah. Like, yeah.
So I was cool. like, I'm dumb as shit.
It was a very literal.
I was like, they're taking DNA and they're like, this is DNA from 2013.
I'm glad you brought that up though, because I did like the aspect from like the sci-fi side of it that they were all wearing like, what are they called, hazard suits, basically like those biohazard yeah. suits, because if something like that did happen and like what are the like plasma that could be
remnants.
Emitting off this yeah that could yeah.
Just
give
don't
you cancer
anything
yeah.
about anything
yeah. So I like how yeah so I like how they came prepared even though it was just an unknowable situation
yeah, which also kind of backs up Ben when he was like, I don't want to tell anyone that I'm hearing voices, like I don't want to be a science experiment.
Yeah.
Oh, I was so yeah, that was Mema was watching with me. And when he said that the first time when the him and Michaela are talking and he's like, you sound crazy. Like, don't say anything to anyone, they'll throw you into a psych ward. I was like, what a dick. Yeah. Like what yeah. a straight yeah. up dick. And then when you see him at the fence, I'm
he's
like
scared.
Yeah. yeah, I was like, oh my God, that makes
like,
sense.
Because
he's feeling
so.
Yeah, he's like, feeling the same way, of course.
This just happened. The government, like, I don't know, I would feel the same way. I'd be
he
like,
was bringing up some good points.
This is like silent, like,
you know what's so funny? I immediately hated the people doing the
yeah,
experiments the and the, whatever the FBI. I'm like, leave it alone, as if a fucking plane skipping 5 years isn't insane and you'd have yeah. to like yeah. inspect yeah. every ounce of it. And I was like, leave them alone.
Yeah, yeah, but fine. Like when you think about it, like the CIA, the FBI, they'd be all yeah. over it before it even reached us.
Yeah, he was like, you think they're gonna let us go? You think the FBI isn't just tracking every single fucking thing we're doing, all 191 of us? That's sick. Yeah.
Ben's really the only one that brought that up too, and this pilot really focused on the smaller scale of just introducing us to the characters, but like, yeah, the US government would be all over this. The FBI is going to be involved with this story going forward.
Yeah,
I loved too that when you hear the voices of Set Them Free, we just automatically assume she's talking about the dogs.
Yep.
That was awesome. A great little, like, it wasn't a twist.
Like, it was no big deal.
Yeah. And we're just like, that was interesting. Like, nothing happens. And then we go back and the dogs are standing in front of the door and the set them free is getting louder and louder. And then you see the girls and I'm just like, wow.
Oh, can I guess that I knew the girls were going to be in there? Is that like okay to say? Because I definitely
when though?
I
didn't. When?
I knew it once the dogs were there. When they're saying set them free, the whole episode is about Jared trying to find these girls. I'm like, ah, they're in there. I knew they didn't mean the dogs, especially when the dogs were just like,
they were no biggie.
What I thought was it was reference to set them free the dogs because maybe they were being abused and whatever the voice is just telling them to save like lives that matter, like whether it's animal or human, but. Now we get confirmation that it's only geared to humans, it seems like. But
yeah,
what a crazy twist. That was amazing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was awesome.
He knows.
So, oh no, I was kind of just going
to. Oh, I was going to say, you know, it's really funny that this fucked up, crazy like system we have in America. I was like, that's not going to stick. Like her finding the kids as if like, you know what I mean? It's like she didn't have probable cause to enter that building or something. I'm like, God. That's not going to stick. They're going to have to return those kids to him.
I was thinking,
can you imagine?
Try to hit Jared with a pipe. Yeah. They'd still be in there.
Exactly.
Also, just piggybacking off of what we were talking about the dogs. When Brian and I were watching this the other day, he was like, yeah, like why are the dogs so chill? Like they're just kicking it. Like they're just hanging out. They're not guard dogs. They're just,
yeah.
They're just there.
Like that's sus.
That's why I thought they were being mistreated. And plus, like, you get the whole scenario of them being like it's like a dump almost. I mean, it's whatever the building is. Yeah. Metal forgery place. But
yeah,
I'm curious where you guys think that this is going. Like, what do you think is going to happen? Not in terms of the voices in their heads, because we've already sort of covered that in terms of, you know, you thinking that everyone's going to have their own mini storylines or whatever, but where do you think we're headed as a whole?
I'm having OA PTSD because I had no idea where the OA was going to go. And I was so far off.
So I think at least for Michaela, it seems like she's just going to be this crime fighting like medium who can kind of predict the future and uses that to solve crimes, get back on the beat, as they say in the business. Ben, I don't know, maybe he'll get like a job at Radio Shack or something and try to like save 20,
it's 28 if anything if it was 2013 there'd be Radio Shack. It's not 28.
Well, we don't really know what Ben did, but we do know that she said don't try to diagnose me.
Oh true, yeah, she did say that. Maybe he's a therapist or something. Well, this could be a pretty handy ability for dealing with patients. If he's a therapist. Sanvi, she could also put this to use.
I think there's a lot of people with good intentions that
definitely
or on that plane.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be following them kind of more on a individual basis. But they also alluded to the fact that Michaela said something like, we were only just getting to know each other and pretty soon we'd know each other better than anybody else in the world. So I guess they are just going to continue to interweave.
For me, I think what I'm trying to say is, I guess that there doesn't appear to be the only conflict to me that we like really need to figure out what would drive the show is knowing what happened in that turbulence and that storm, because you can create a show with these people wanting like that are have the ability to save humans, but you don't really have content out of that. That's not, there's no like problems there as of right now. Like that's just a good thing that can happen and you can save people. So for me, the only thing that really can become an issue is either the powers or the actual storm that they got teleported into.
What about the FBI?
I think they're just going to be a bunch of dicks the whole time. I just see them being, okay, they are a Road quote bombs. Unquote conflict in the sense that they're just going anti what our main cast is going to be doing, I think. But I think the FBI is just going to play a role in like, we don't believe anything you guys say. So
yeah, they're the big bad.
I wouldn't say big bad, but they're a bad for sure. Just because they're not going to be able, their weak, feeble minds can't wrap their ideas around.
So they're not the big bad. You mean there's going to be some monster to thwart?
I really
zombies.
Don't know.
Zombies.
Yeah, zombies. Could be zombies.
Still on the table as far as I'm concerned.
Still on the table, but.
The hat back arm.
I think big bad would, I don't know what would be the big bad. I just know that the only story we have here is whatever the storm was and the powers. Like them saving people isn't really a show story. There's got to be some kind of conflict.
I would say there's some sort of, I agree, conflict. I'm not sure what it is, but the collective has to kind of solve, right? Yeah, I mean, if they're all intertwined.
There's a mystery for sure.
For anyone who's seen like Sense8, how they're all kind of connected. I don't know if anyone here has watched Sense8.
We started it.
Yeah, it's really good. There's obviously 8 of them and they all are like interconnected within their like brains and everything. And they can kind of like travel and stuff. It's cool. You should watch it.
Yeah, maybe cover it. Pick that up.
I've always recommended that to me.
Yeah, me and Luke. I think Paul does too. We could. But anyway, yeah, I agree. I think the only theory I really have is that they're all going to collectively have to work towards something. I don't know what that something is, though. I'm just in it for the relationships always.
Also, why do you think that Ben knew Michaela was at the church? Because he says, like, I just knew.
Maybe they could have some special twin telepathy thing. Are they twins or
no,
just siblings?
They're just siblings.
Sibling telepathy thing going on.
It's so tough. I don't know. Maybe
there might be elements of like a hive mind to like this whole thing going on.
I agree with that.
Don't fully understand how to use yet.
Maybe they're just like angels. I don't know. Maybe God chose them as angels because they're all good people. I guess.
Well, she said that in the church scene. She said, "What if I'm like? How do you know if you're one of the called?"
Yeah.
So that's what I'm thinking. Maybe something angel related.
Churchy.
But if we want to go around, give these episodes a rating on.
Wait, you got any more questions?
No, that was pretty much it.
Okay,
we good.
Just go around.
But I do want to hear like who your favorite characters are.
Sanvi.
Yeah, me too.
She's a killer.
I like the daughter as well.
Like Michaela.
Olive's really good.
I like
good
Ben.
Too,
I think I like Ben too, to be honest.
I'm sus with Ben a little bit.
Development of all judgy. Of them is really interesting.
I liked him except for when he gaslighted Michaela.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yes,
I thought that was really messed up, even though he.
But he had his reason.
Well, he did that. And then when they were breaking in to the metal shop, he goes, "You know, this is a felony."
Yeah. She was, "I'm a fucking cop."
And yeah, bitch, what? That's a cop.
Yeah. That was
condescending. Mansplaining. Yes. I was like, bro, seriously?
Bro.
Yeah, you're not going to know your own sister is a cop and
like,
she doesn't know what she's
she
about
knows
to
what
do.
A felony is. Yeah.
So that was stupid. But
Brian thought that part was harmless, though.
I did think that part was harmless, but clearly I'm the only one.
And yet,
so
what's her name? Can't run through a fucking crowd to see her husband who's been gone for 5 years.
Yes. Yes. What?
Coming from the guy in the group,
coming
right, ladies?
The white male in the room.
It's nice to have Michaela another girl in the room for once.
Michaela said that this episode. She said, "What a guy," to Jared when he said, "Is it because of me?"
Oh.
And I thought it was.
I laughed
money.
At that because I was, yeah, because so I was like, I probably, like,
what a guy.
I think I would have had the same reaction as Jared too, like, "Oh, it's because of me." And it's like, get over yourself a little bit.
Yeah, like think about what I just went through, bro. Yeah. Like what?
My favorite character is, I think it's Sanvi, but I'm going to go with Captain Daly just for,
cool.
Yeah, just for the sake of being different.
I love a deep cut.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, right.
So here's the part of Pitchtown where we all decide whether or not we're going to keep watching the show. What do we think? Final thoughts. But we're also going to rate it. So we have 3 rating systems. We've got, one is the best one, says we're going to binge it immediately. It's like, we're good. We love it. I got to know what happens. Binge it immediately. 2, add it to the list. And now there's caveats to that. You can say like, add it to the list. I'll get to when I get to it or add it
like
to the list.
Up
high up. I just have to finish the current show I'm watching. Like there, we let people have some fun with it. Okay. Yeah. Then the third one is, and for that reason, I'm out. And you got to give your reason why you're out. So
I'm nervous.
Dave? When I hit it?
Yeah. First one that comes to mind is add it to the list. I'm just really into the show that I'm currently watching, Arcane. I just really want to get through that. But I would put The Expanse high priority.
Not The
like,
Expanse.
So ridiculous.
We
got to
call him out, right?
Context. Yeah, tell him what you did, Dave, to prepare for this pilot episode of Manifest.
To let the people know, to prepare for Manifest, I watched The Expanse episode 1, hinting for you guys that there will be an Expanse coverage at some point.
The best part about all of that is I got here before everyone else, and Dave and I were just chatting, and I was like, so what'd you think? And he goes, oh, you know, this part about the Mars explosion, like blah blah blah. And
that's
I'm just
incredible.
I'm thinking like the explosion at the end of the episode, because he said it was at the end of
the
episode.
True, yeah.
And I'm kind of looking at him like Mars?
What show did you just watch? Did you watch the right show? Yeah, and he goes, yeah, The Expanse, right?
Swinging a mess. Like,
no.
So yeah, that was amazing. about 2 hours before we started recording. And then with that last hour, we got to the right episode. And I am here to sit on the throne of Manifest now. But wow, that was such a terrible thing that I could have.
He's like, Manifest, add to the list. Now The Expanse.
Expanse actually was, oh, never mind.
We'll and for that reason, off. I'm
yeah.
out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Wow. But no, Manifest, no. That was my review for
Expanse. Oh, okay,
no, I'll add it to the list. Like I said, Arcane's really good. I think the mystery of everything that we don't know what's going on, just getting to know what is going to happen is something very interesting. And it definitely makes me feel better knowing that Netflix picked it up and it has a conclusion. Whereas for the OA, when I got into it, I was like, fuck, now I'm part of the cult that just wants this to be continued. But here it's like, there's a purpose because the show's only 4 seasons. It's not going to be that much content, I feel like. And I feel like it has a good potential. So add it to the list.
Yeah. I'll go next and I'll say I'm gonna binge it immediately.
Fuck yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Girl, let's go. So that's you caught me in an amazing time because the shows I'm watching right now are like short, quick ones. I'm watching like Modern Love on Amazon Prime. Like, I'm not, besides Wheel of Time, I'm not watching like any like full length stuff right now, and that's week to week. So I could definitely handle Manifest. What can you quickly explain, like, how many episodes per season? 3 seasons currently on Netflix, correct?
Yeah, I'm not sure how many episodes per season.
Is it like a 22 or is it like a 12?
Probably around 22, yeah. Just because it was like an NBC show.
Wait, but 22 per like season. Yeah. I forgot they do that. But
I'm not.
So maybe so take back what I said about it being quick, but it's still only 4 seasons. Right. And I would still.
It is quicker. And the episodes are 40 minutes.
I just love knowing that there's an end. Like, I'm not getting into something that I'm going to have to do week by week or wait a year to get to. I will be able
so
to.
So season one has.
There's 42 total episodes over 3 seasons.
Doable.
Okay, doable.
Yeah, that's very super, doable. It's super
cake.
Easy.
That's cake.
And I'm intrigued enough. I'm a character girl. Like, if someone is intriguing me, I'm in. And then even though I don't necessarily love Michaela, I'm definitely intrigued by her. And like you said, best eyes in the game. I don't necessarily love her yet.
I knew you were going to say something like that.
Yeah. I don't necessarily love her yet, which is interesting because usually it takes me like falling in love with the main character to really stick with. If I don't fall in love with the main character, usually I'm like, what is this?
I'm having flashbacks to when I said that about the OA on the first episode of.
And then I wanted to beat you up.
Yeah. I was just like, I'm not like hooked on her. Like, she's cool. Like, of course, she's the main character.
How dare you?
Yeah. But no, I'm on your page too. Like, Michaela, I think, has a lot of potential going for her.
Agreed.
But right, the first episode, she didn't stand out as like a great character.
I'm still rooting for her. And yeah, I want to know more about the. You know what? It's the accident that's really going to make or break her. You know, is she Riley from Midnight Mass, or any of my Midnight Mass people out there? Or, you know, so
one of the cool things too is that they really made these characters realistic to life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like, I feel like all of their flaws are just their flaws.
Could be anybody. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like, you know, there are things that you like and you don't like about each character, which I personally think is really cool, rather than like, you know, my favorite, The Vampire Diaries, where you just like, you either like love someone or you hate someone and there's no middle ground.
Yeah. What are you going to do, Bri?
Okay. So what do I think about Manifest? I would say that if Lost is like a 10 out of 10 must binge, then this is kind of like the little brother to that.
Yes, that's fair.
And I will give it the status of add it to the list. And I would say in the top 50% of that list.
Yeah, he's going to be watching it
this week. Is a good show. And I know I'm going to watch it just because of my proximity to Emma. Like, it will get thrown on the TV eventually. Mm-hmm. And I will watch it and I will like it. It's totally a binge worthy show because I feel like if I sat down and wanted to binge this, I could absolutely crush it.
Yeah.
And like you said, there are characters that there's a lot to like about them, but also a lot to hate about them. I was trashing Grace earlier, but to be honest, she is in one of the most interesting predicaments that could come out of this 5-year gap thing. I think they did a really good job of just showing these are people that were in very normal circumstances before the plane, and then they came back and like their lives are just completely rattled.
Yeah, they are regular people.
Just showing the ramifications of what could have happened to like you or me, you know, if this happened to me.
My favorite thing right now is that I'm looking over onto Brian's
notes and he just has a bullet of Grace sucks, LOL.
I do that too. I put LOL and haha at the end of my notes too.
There's a period after the LOL too.
I do smiley faces too. Yeah.
Keep it fun.
They're my notes, you know? I like seeing past me in my notes and being like,
same.
So funny.
All right. So this is a little bit off topic. But I just have one final question for the three of you. Kathleen, I sent you this earlier today.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm going to ask you about a different show. All right. So let's say you're sitting at a table and you have 5 pills in front of you. You have a blue pill, a red pill, a pink pill, a black pill, and a green pill. We're talking about the Magicians in this instance.
But for the listeners, think about your favorite show.
Yeah.
Your favorite show of all time.
Any show. Mm-hmm. Favorite show. I know that the Magicians is a favorite of the Bingetown crew.
Yes.
So the blue pill means that the show will be renewed for 5 more seasons. The red pill means that you can bring back a character that left the show. The pink pill means that you can meet your favorite cast member, which you guys basically already did.
Yeah.
Shout out Rick Worthy.
We love you.
The black pill means that you can forget all of the episodes so you can watch it again for the first time. And the green pill means that you get stuck in the universe of the TV show for one day. Which would you choose?
And this is for the Magicians.
All right. So
yeah, we'll do it for the Magicians.
We already did this.
Manifest quite enough.
So I know my answer, but you know what another fun exercise would be is to write down a show for each one. You know what I mean? Being like, okay, for this universe, I want to go to Game of Thrones. I want to go to the Game of Thrones universe. That'd be psycho, but yeah.
Yeah, that would be crazy.
You know what I mean? But so,
smells so bad.
I'm going to choose 5 more seasons with the caveat that I would choose Drop Me in the Universe, but that doesn't mean you could be dropped off in fucking Utah for all I know. You got to guarantee I'm going to Fillory or I'm on Breakville's campus.
You're going to Fillory during the good Fillory.
Yes. Seasons. With magic, opium in the air, just fuck me up.
Peaches and plums, motherfucker.
Yes.
I was going to say get stuck in the universe for the TV show for one day, but then I'd realize coming back to reality would be the worst thing in the world. So I'm not going to pick that. I'm going to say 5 more seasons is a lot. Like if it's a 3, I might be steering there, but I'll say forget all the episodes because I feel like I remember watching Magicians for the first time in my room and just I would have work at 8 and be up till 3 watching the Magicians. Like that was just such a great point in my life.
So what if you could get dropped in the universe in the episode where Fogg and Katie go to that like wonked out just like drug world?
As long as there's no long
where Fogg got stuck there.
Ethereal realm?
Yes. As long as there's no long-term brain damage that's coming to me, like I would absolutely do that. Yeah, as long as there's nothing wrong with me that come from that, then yeah, I'm good.
I'll do socks
that.
Everywhere.
I'll do that, yeah.
Ryan?
For the Magicians, I would say bring back a character that left the show if I could also bring it back for 5 more seasons because he died so late in the game.
But go ahead. What are you picking?
I would say bring that show back for 5 more seasons because they ended it. They got to New Fillory. I would have loved to see where they would have taken 100%
loved the New Fillory.
But we've been going at this for a while now. That is the pilot coverage of Manifest. Emma, thank you so much for stopping
by.
Thanks, Emma.
Thanks, Emma.
I think other significant others can come on now. She set a good precedent.
We're not going to break up, right?
I don't think so.
You shouldn't.
We'll talk in the car, okay?
Oh, honestly. Boy, I'm in for it.
Yeah. As always, if you like what you heard, give Bingetown TV a follow on Twitter and Instagram. Visit us on BingetownTV.com and subscribe to our show on Spotify, the Apple Podcast app, or wherever else you may find your podcast. Once again, we are Bingetown TV, and thanks for listening.
Woo! Set them free! Set them free! Set them free!
Set them free!
Manifest! Zombies!
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.